Imagine a world where you don't just have to hear Diesel and Clooney, but you can see Diesel and Clooney. Now imagine that world is not imaginary. It's real. That's right. It's 2024, and Diesel and Clooney have moved into the video age. Some would say several decades too late. I would say we didn't even do this a decade ago, so this isn't that bad. Jerry, it's not just me who can see you now. Now everybody can see you.
It's so stressful.
It is a little stressful, I know.
It's like
my gosh.
I can't hide. You can do anything you want when people are just listening.
Yeah, but now the viewers. Like, oh. new year, new format. That's us, Diesel and Clooney.
Bring it on. That's right. Bring it on. It's exciting. We've talked about this before, right? Like
we have. We've dreamed and schemed, but we never took the plunge. But you know, it's the new year. New year. It's the time for plunging.
2024.
Plunge into 2024.
Which, as far as I'm concerned, is the new 2020, right?
Like, yeah, I think we are just recycling.
I think
2020.
We're there, right?
Yeah.
Like 2020 was going to be the best year ever. 2020 vision. We're going to like, it's going to be.
Remember that 2020 vision? Oh, and that, you know, that didn't quite go how people would have thought it would.
Let's try it again. We got so many similarities to 2020, the way it should have been, right? Like this, it's that every 4 year we've got here in the US, it's going to be an election year. So that's exciting.
That I'm sure it will be exciting.
Like what could go wrong there?
I mean,
it's Olympic year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much exciting. It's a leap year, February 29th coming up.
You know so much more about this year than I do.
It's like every 4 years you get this, you get the extra day, you get all of the excitement of everything that's going on. It's like and this is it. So
this is the rotation.
Jump in.
We've been looking forward to it. We've looked back on it. And you know, Jerry, speaking of looking backward and forward, I think today maybe we should talk about time and our perspective on time. You know, because it's a new year and there are loads of people are looking back, loads of people are looking forward. Some people are looking right now at us because we're in video.
But I would argue fewer people are looking at right now than at most points in the year, right? Like you're looking forward, you're looking back. This is like the first part of the year is when you either look forward or back, but let's celebrate those who are still willing to just kind of sit in the moment and enjoy where they are. Yeah, let's talk about time perspective.
I think we should. Which I have to start. I have to start by looking back just a little bit because I have to do a shout out and a thank you to. I'm already looking back. A shout out and a thank you to my good friend Andrew in Dubai, who is the inspiration. He is the inspiration for us going to video. Andrew in Dubai. He has a video podcast that he does called What the Football.
What the Football.
It's hilarious. And he does such a good job of it. Now I have to say, we can't even just say listeners anymore. Now it's listener/viewer. Listener/viewer. All three of you? Are we up to three? No. I think our stats went nine. I don't know.
Nine.
Nine.
Plus all Andrew. Nine. That's 10.
10, all 10 listener viewers. Just so you know, if you do go over to What the Football, which you can find on YouTube, and I do recommend it, just so you know, you're going to come back here and be severely disappointed because Andrew is a technological whiz. So he's got video angles and camera perspective and lighting, and it's all good. We're not there yet. You know, baby steps. We're baby steps. We're at least doing video. I'm not quite sure I'm up to doing a lot of editing. Anyway, just wanted to say a huge, huge thank you to Andrew for the inspiration.
Thanks, Andrew.
2024. Looking back on 23, looking forward to 24, living in the now. I have to say, Jerry, do you know what inspired me as far as, and we talked about this extensively in our pre-show, meeting, you know, when we came up with the topic all of 20 minutes ago. But I can't even say that I read that. That gives me way too much credit. I saw a post, I believe, on the Instagrams that talked about time perspective and the Enneagram types. And that's what got me thinking about this. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of the Enneagrams.
Yeah.
And it made me think because it talked about how some personality types tend to channel their decisions through looking forward to the future.
Okay.
Some tend to channel their experiences and understanding through looking back to the past, and some
Interesting.
personality types live well in the moment. And I thought, how very interesting, because time perspective is probably one of those things that we end up projecting a little
Yeah.
bit. You know,
Yeah.
we assume everybody sees the way we do.
Right.
So, you
Which is
know,
a
and I
challenge,
realize,
right?
yeah, whereas my personality type, I tend to run things through. I look more at the past for reference. And
Okay.
so I can create lots of misunderstandings or interpret people wrong if I assume everybody else is looking back at the past, just because that's what I do, when in fact they might be informed by more of a present or future thing. So lots of possible misunderstandings, even just with time perspectives.
So would you say you take your, like, does one impact the other? Does your, do you, when you're looking at the future, are you thinking about the past? Are you thinking about, oh, this worked, or oh, this didn't work, or oh, we know this, we learned this, and so this
Yeah.
is how we should move forward in the future? Is it like, is that how it works for you, or?
Oh, I think so. I think that, you know, for the way, yeah, even when I am looking to the future, it's probably still with reference to the past. It's still very much, well, this worked, this didn't work. So looking ahead, let's make sure and take that into account. And you know, there's some wisdom to that. I think you
Sure.
know, learning lessons from the past is good, but like everything else, double-edged sword, you know, the future's unknown, and it's like those disclosures you get on the stock market and stuff like that, where it always says, you know, past performance is no indicator of future performance.
A
And you're like,
future.
oh,
Yeah, that's right.
and some of that is probably true as well. Like, who, you know, referencing
Who
back to
knows? Yeah.
2020, who could have thought 2020 vision would be
Right.
vision from behind a mask inside a house without any physical contact. You know,
Yeah.
that probably wasn't on anyone's future radar. So,
But it, like,
yeah.
2020 is a good example, because I think that one of the first narratives that came out when COVID hit was, oh, remember 19, what was it, 18, or
Oh,
the last
yeah.
time. And we tried to make this direct comparison to 100 years ago, but the world was completely different, and we didn't, like,
Yeah.
I won't say we didn't get real nuance, but there was a lot of conversation that wasn't super nuanced. That was just kind of like a one,
Yeah.
this is what happened back then, this is what's happening now. And yeah, I think it'd be interesting to explore and kind of pick that Enneagram thing apart and figure out, you know, who does what, because I think even those who look back in the past, you can kind of go a couple of different directions, right? Like, you can have the people who lean on the past and say, yeah, that didn't work. We already tried that. That's not going to happen. And are
Yeah.
always kind of negative. Or the people who look in the past and say, yeah, like, this is what we learned, and this is how we move forward into the future, right? Like, it's
Yeah.
there's the positive, the negative spin. And then that's what I do like about the Enneagram, is that it's nuanced, and it gives room for situations and personalities that differ, right?
Yeah.
It
And
explores all of that.
nuance is so important. Nuance
Yeah.
is so
Yeah.
important. What about you, Jerry? Do you think if you know, if you were to evaluate how you use perspective of time, do you think spend more time looking at the past, more time dreaming of the future, or more time just being present?
I definitely think there's a connection between the two. I spend a lot of time in the future. Dreaming and thinking and envisioning. Like, I fancy myself as kind of a visionary,
You
sometimes to a
are. You're
fault.
pretty visionary, Jerry. You're pretty
Yeah,
visionary.
well, I like to think about what could happen in the future. Sometimes, I think there's a gap between the present and the future. And that's the reality part of it, right? Like, so I love to think about what could happen. I don't always like to think about what it would take to make that happen, and all the details, and all of the the pieces that would get there. I do like to think about that, but even that, I keep it a kind of a high level and a big picture piece. But then when we get down into the weeds and the details, I tend to bring somebody else in to help me think through that. I'm not a big detail person. But I think I look forward quite a bit, but I also, I connect the past. I do think, as I'm thinking about the future, I'm thinking about what we have tried and what we've done and what worked and didn't work in the past. And sometimes that's empowering, right? Like
Yeah.
sometimes that's exciting. Sometimes that's paralyzing, because it's just like I can't get past how this didn't work in the past, to make it work in the future. So I don't know. Like I'd bounce back and forth, I think.
Yeah.
But I think I do, if if living in the present is a high value, I struggle with that one.
Yeah.
I'm either thinking forward or backward.
Yeah, I think it's funny. If I were to rank them, I would say, for me personally, I would say, yeah, I tend to run most things through a lens of the past. And then, next strongest would be preparing for the future. My weakest would be the now, and it takes some discipline and focus to live in the now and not be distracted by past or present. But it was so much, it's such an interesting thought that people have different preferences, and that perhaps my interpretation of people, it's a fun thing to check. And I think that's where, cross-cultural kind of understanding comes in, because time is a very, very cultural thing.
Oh, it
Even
is.
the way we describe it linguistically, in the West, we tend to see time as a commodity. So we talk about spending time and saving time and investing time. So it's a commodity. But that is not universal. Not all cultures, view time that way. And so if you're going to be empathetic and open up culturally, it even means you have to dig down and even reassess the way you view time. I think there's probably correlations there about past, present, and future as well. I think about even dining. It's always fun to me spending time in places in bits of Europe where I think dining is a great now focuser for a lot of European cultures. I know, if I go out to eat in France or Germany or Belgium or lots of Western Europe, dining is a very now thing. It's a very, you might be there for hours, and so it's very now. It's not like, oh, gotta get out of here. It's no, we're dining. It's gonna be a while, and the waiters even know that. The waiters don't come over often. They're not trying to. They would never, ever, ever bring you a check before you've asked for it, because it's a now thing. Whereas in the US, I feel dining is more. It's a now but future. It's a good, glad you're here now, but you also got places to be. So
Let's
here's your
get in, let's
check.
get
If you
out.
need anything else, we can add it. But here's your check. So even dining culturally, is probably a thing where cultural understanding comes into play. And I think you've talked quite a bit about, I think time. One of the things that I love getting to hear you talk about is when you're helping people prepare to move cross-culturally, you've said a lot of wise things
I
about
remember
time. Even if you
that,
haven't, yeah, you've said a thing or two, Jerry. You've said a thing or two. But just I think we run through different views of time, even in transition. And you've talked about the idea of, is it wise to go back home after, only being in a new location for a certain while and everything. But yeah, give me your thoughts on that, Jerry.
Well, I mean, you said it so wisely, but
Well.
time is just like inside of that time, especially moving into the future, right? Like there has to be one of my favorite phenomenons is when you ask people, are you an optimist or a pessimist, right? And it's like 85% of the people will say, no, I'm a realist, which
Ooh.
we all love to think that, but yeah, but you're kind of a positive realist or
Right. You probably still
realist
have
or a
a
negative
leaning.
realist, right? Like it's all real. There are good things and hard things to everything. And but we like to see ourselves as being able to be the ones who see what is really happening, right? But as any type of realist, you have to recognize as time is moving forward and there's this difference between the past and the future, because the past you've had access to, you've seen what you like Hindsight is 2020. We say that a lot. Like, we've seen that. The future, we don't. And so we have to guess, or we have to assume, and we have to plan. We have to, like, put all those words in there, think about what's going to happen. But as a realist, positive or negative, you have to recognize that it's just going to take time, right? Like, the transition in from one thing into another thing takes time. Where this is so one of the things that always drove me crazy is that I would do training for people who were about to embark cross-culturally, and I would talk about setting expectations, right? Like, talking about expectations. And I would always challenge people not to lower their expectations, because that's the advice that everybody gives. Just go in with zero
Ooh.
expectations and nothing can go wrong. And
Yeah, I've heard that advice.
that's a very pessimistic view, right? Like, it's trying to mash together like two colors of Plato, pessimism and optimism, right? Like, if you can make it bad enough, then it can be good, but otherwise it can't possibly be good. What I would challenge people to do is just to postpone their expectations, right? Not lower them, not get rid of them, just postpone them. Just recognize that whatever you envision happening or dream of happening, like, so you're gonna move to China, and you just can't wait to speak Chinese. That's great, right? Like, that's a great, and you can learn, you can like, but you have to postpone that, because we tend to think, I can't wait for like 6 months, I'm gonna be speaking fluent Chinese. Like, no, it's harder than that. It takes longer. But then those people 6 months in, they give up. They're like, no, yeah, like, I've found the English menus. I've got people who speak English. I can get around this country without ever learning Chinese. But it's like, yeah, okay, you just, like, you threw out your expectations. You just got rid of them. Instead of just postponing them, let them go a little bit longer. And I'm going to speak some Chinese in 6 months, and in a year I'm going to speak more, and in several years, I'll be fluent or not. But then you have to make the adjustments, right? Like, you have to adjust your approach, because you do discover that you can get around speaking English or whatever your language is, and you don't have to. But you have to adjust the realities around that and spend more time. You can adjust those realities.
Oh, that's so well put, because it's a matter of how we see time. And I think, man, that's such a great piece of advice to don't lower your expectations. Just postpone them. You know, put it in an accurate system of time. Well, I think that comes with I remember an interesting tidbit that I learned from somewhere. Some book or article or someone clever had
Some
had a
genius.
scratchy head meeting
I
about
think it was
something.
Andrew, probably.
It's probably Andrew. It's probably Andrew, off in Dubai, being wise. And this article made the point that when we're in pain, psychologically, we disconnect a little bit from sort of the time circuitry in our brain, which I thought was so interesting.
That is
And
interesting. Say more. Go ahead.
yeah, I know. Let me try to have my own scratchy head meeting about wise things that I read. But yeah, that basically, if you think about it, a lot of pain is tied into fear. And if you think about it, and I would say this is true for myself. I can think of times where I've been in physical or even emotional pain. And the fear, if I label the fear underneath it, the fear is only partially the pain that's happening. I would say an even louder part of the fear is, what if this pain continues? And that's a result of sort of the psychological, physiological disconnect, where our brain says, basically, this is time. We're going to disconnect the time circuitry because this pain needs to be dealt with now, and I need you to focus only on this. You know, that's it's not the time. It's not the time, as you know, you've got a giant gash wound in your leg, and you're bleeding profusely. That's not the time to go, oh, but should I reschedule that meeting next week? Did I leave the gas on at home? Should I? Like, that's not. And so your brain does. It's like, no. Now is the only thing that is, and it might last forever unless you do something about it. And so with that circuitry disconnect, The fear underlying the pain is partially the pain of the moment, but a big part of it is the fear of what if this is just how it is now? And I think we can see that more in emotional pain. I mean, you think about loneliness or anger or frustration. And I think in those moments, we don't appreciate time, you know, when you're really feeling lonely or sad or depressed or whatever. If you really were to assess it, it's some of it is that feeling in the moment, but some of it is the feeling of what if this is just all I ever am now? What if I'm always going to be depressed, always going to be lonely, always feeling this loss? And so it's our physiological way of saying deal with this now. But I think that's worth knowing because how we approach things sometimes, especially with emotional pain, you know, we almost have to override and reconnect those time circuits, you know, intentionally to go, okay, I feel this now, but I'm not actually going to feel this way forever. And I see
And
that
that
as a tie-in with what you're saying with transition.
absolutely. And that's a really hard thing to do, right? Like, it's really hard to disconnect what's happening right now from the future. It feels like it's always going to be like this, or this, like my current reality feels like my forever reality. And I think that's where people who have the benefit of more past, like that's a nice way to say it, isn't it? People
The
have had
benefit of
more
more past.
experience with the past, which is me in this situation. But you have to go through that multiple times to really cognitively be able to process that information and say, you know what, it does get better, and it can get better, and then set out the things that this is what worked in the past, this is what didn't work in the past, this is how we make it better. But it's really, that doesn't change the emotion in the moment, right? Like, it doesn't change how you feel, even if you know it's going to get better. I'm thinking of the teenager who goes through their first breakup, right? Like, it feels like life just ended. It feels like they'll never find love. They'll never, and there are lots of us out there who are so thankful that first breakup happened, right?
Well, I think about the illustration I've used it in talks before. It's just it's almost an illustration more about compassion and empathy, but I think it does connect on time. Everything connects on time. Look at us choosing such a good topic.
Yeah, it's like,
But
yeah.
it I think about, you know, if you've ever seen a wee one, a toddler, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, fall and skin their knees, they scream as if their legs have been ripped off. Because in their small realm of experience, that is the greatest pain they have experienced. Their past is not very long. So this dip of, happiness, it's the biggest dip they've ever experienced. And so, and we, as adults, we look at that and we're like, you skinned your knee, you're going to be fine. Like, but wait till you get a root canal, baby. Which I hope people never get root canals, but
Which is a
we
great way to
have, we
calm a
have,
child is just to tell them that more pain is
just
coming. It
don't
gets
worry.
worse.
This gets worse. You're gonna wish it was just a skinny knee way. But there's some degree to which we have to be compassionate to realize in their realm of experience, this is the worst thing they have ever experienced. You know, they're we do we're running things through a
Yeah,
past view
their
of
experience,
reality,
right?
and depending on the size of, and scope of that past view, that's gonna, a range of dips and a range of highs. That's all we've got to base everything off of. You know, I think you can take input from other people, but so much of it is a personal experience. And so even that, you're right. I think it's so hard to disconnect from time a little bit because that instinct that started when we were wee ones that basically said, "Oh, this hurts, this is the worst hurt ever." It takes quite a bit of maturity, and especially as I think our pain moves from physical to emotional over the years. And it is, that's the part where that reconnection, I think, is helpful to reconnect those time circuits and go, okay, yes, I feel this way now. Yes, it's valid. It won't last forever. And so I need to act accordingly. That's hard.
And there's this, like, as you're talking, I see this. There's a direct line between experience and expectations, right? Like, there
Ooh.
is the those two are directly connected. And so, as we're moving into our expectations, we connect it to our experience. So, this happened over here. This is, I love this video thing because I can use my
I
hand. I'm a
know.
hand talker.
Exactly.
Nobody's
Look
ever
at all
known
this added.
that. But this happened over here. And so, this is going to happen over here. But then there's this other space, right? Like beyond our experience. I don't have this experience. So I'm going to something new, right? I'm moving to a new country. I'm learning a new language. I'm meeting these new people. I'm trying this new thing. I'm starting a business. I'm like whatever it is, right? I'm going to do this thing. And if we don't have the direct connection to our experience, then there's this big bucket over here that's like assumptions or guesses, or there's this whole area that we don't have any experience in, right? And I think that's where there's high value. There's a lot of merit to then expanding whatever. So I don't have that experience, but you do, so I can talk to you, right? Like it helped me to expand my frame of reference over here. Give me an experience. Let's go do something together that's going to expand that frame of reference so that I have a clearer view on my expectations and therefore a higher rate of success in whatever it is, however I define that, whatever I'm trying to do, right? We can do things to expand our frame of reference. And I think this is where like a lot of bad things happen is because we don't expand the experience. We're just fine with the assumptions, right? This is what's going to happen, or this, like, it gets really dicey when you're like, this is what these people are like, right? I'm going to this new place, or I see these people. I have very little experience, very little connection in the past, only what I've seen on television, only what I read in a book, only that, or what one person told me, right? Like my experience is very limited. And so that connection to my expectation of those people, and we don't think through that. We don't often think, oh, I just don't know much about them. We think we have all we need to know. And so we make those assumptions and we miss out on some gold, right? Or like on a more negative side, we make some projections about people that are just way off and wrong. And that's, I mean, that ranges from, just I misunderstanding to outright bigotry and hatred. And I mean, like that's at the root of all of those things is we've just made assumptions about people based on a very limited experience, and our expectations are pathetic at times, right?
Ooh, it's such a good way to put
We're
it.
going deep today,
We're
man.
going
Damn,
deep. I know.
damn,
Look at
man.
us. We're unpacking everything that doesn't run away fast enough. It harkens back to, because I'm trying to think about, so what do we do about this? If once you become aware of something, you then have the power to wield it, to refine it. It's that whole process intellectually, what you do intuitively. And intuitively, we're all interpreting life through a lens of time, and we have different preferences, whether your preference is past, present, or future. We're going to need all of them, but it's going to take work to be stronger in the areas where you don't naturally tend toward. And it makes me think of a time honored rubric, a time honored system that is in the TCK book, the Dave Pollack, Ruth Van Reeken, Third Culture Kids, the book, and
The book.
the book, and this framework has been used tons of time, but it's so good I still use it, and it's the RAFT framework, which
Oh, yeah.
I know you know well,
Classic.
but I think as far as one of the great things about the RAFT framework, and I'll run through it very quickly for dear listener slash viewer, because I think it's so good, is that I think it helps you take advantage of different time perspectives. It's so genius. I don't think they even stated that when it was written, but I think it does that. And I think when I talk about RAFT, when I'm doing presentations or talking to people about transition, which is where the RAFT framework comes into play, I often tell them about the anti-RAFT, which would be my tendencies to, like, before I knew there was a healthy way to do transition, I anti-RAFTed. And then when I learned about RAFT, I was like, oh, I should be doing that. And I think, it's used, we use this a lot for people transitioning cross-culturally, but I think it actually applies to a lot of different types of transition. And I think it ties to, how we view time. So So very, very quickly, I'll give the actual and the anti-raft, and and you give your 2 cents, obviously. But the raft model, it's RAFT, and the R stands for reconcile. And the idea is before you transition, you need to reconcile. You need to, close off open accounts. You need to say what needs to be said, all that kind of good stuff, and tie up loose ends, basically. Before a transition. And I realized that inherently I would do the anti-raft instead of reconciling. I would repress. If I found out, we were going to move, something's come to a close, I'd be like, oh, no, it's a lot of feelings. Push them all down, push them all down. And you think about that on a time scale. Like, I think reconciling is in some ways that's taking care of the present before it becomes the past. Reconciling is saying, nope, I'm here now. I'm still with these people. I need to, they need to know, they need to know how I feel. I need to finish these discussions. I need to resolve these arguments. I need to reconcile. I need to take care of the now before it becomes the past. And repressing is kind of the opposite. Repressing is saying, nope, no now, no now, none of that.
Nope, just push it down. Ignore it. I'm going to fly away. This will all be better when I fly
This will
away.
be better.
And
Once it's in the past, it can't do anything to me. Oh, but it can. Oh, but it can.
And
Which leads,
what we so often miss is that your issues fly, right? Like your issues can
yeah,
fly with you
so
and
true.
you bring them with you.
Oh, they get packed in the baggage, even if you didn't allot for that in your weight allowance. They're still there. They're still
You
there.
brought them with you and you took them somewhere else. You
Yeah. Oh,
transplanted your issues in another country.
it's so true. And again, I think this even applies, even on smaller transitions, even if it's not an international move, a transition in work, a transition in whatever, rafting is good. And then the A stands for affirm. And the idea
Love a firm.
is, again, I think very now focused. The idea is, while I'm in this now, I want to think of the now. And maybe it's building a bridge. Maybe the A is the bridge between the now and the past, because it's looking, it's affirming, it's saying, I have really enjoyed these friends. I've really enjoyed these places. I've enjoyed access to whatever. And it's the ability to take stock and be thankful. And that's a now to past bridge. That's let's take stock and be thankful. Gratitude, very good for the
So
mind,
good.
releases dopamine, all kinds of good stuff. But I realized, left unchecked, I would do in the anti-raft, I wouldn't affirm, I would get angry. Like, the natural reaction was, man, look at all this good stuff, and now I'm not going to have it anymore. And so I'd be angry. I would think, instead of being thankful, I'd be like, oh, well, guess I'm not going to whatever anymore. I can't see these friends. I can't go these places, or again, on any transition. So, which again, it breaks that, in the time scale thing, instead of bridging the now with the past, getting angry is, it's burning those bridges. Getting angry is saying, that's it, dead to me, burn the bridges, burn
It's
the
easier if I
bridges.
hate you. It's easier to
Yeah,
leave you if I'm
exactly.
mad at you, right?
Exactly. Which moves us into the second half of raft. Now that we are a F is for farewell, and farewell is saying goodbye. And I think that's when you're packaging up the now into the past. Like, that's when, and it is, saying goodbyes is hard. It's awkward. Nobody likes it. Well, some people do. I don't know. Some people are really good at it. I'm not. I wanted to avoid, because it's awkward. It's, it's finality that maybe you don't even want. But saying goodbye is very important, because it is, that's packaging up the now
Absolutely.
so that
Yeah.
it can
And doing it
become
well,
the
right?
past clean. Your past, it'd be so, because it's still going to affect you, So, and I
So
would,
what's
the
the
in the
anti-F?
anti-raft, yeah, the anti-F would be trying to forget. I would, at that point, I'd be like, oh, farewells are bad, goodbyes are hard, they hurt. So I'll just ignore, I'll just forget about, this didn't happen, and I'll be fine without it. And that's sort of a, in the, looking at time perspectives, that's kind of denying the past. Your past, you can't erase it. Your past is going to be there. So, if you can clean it up and package your presence nicely into past, really helpful. So I would, that was my, I would just try to forget. And then the grand finale of Raft, I think, is again where time perspective comes into play. It's this idea, the T in Raft stands for, think of the future. And that, I mean, it's in the title, think of the future, because if you've done the other ones, if you've reconciled, you've affirmed, you've said your goodbyes, if you've
And
RAF'd,
you're clear, right?
then becomes way easier to think of the future. And that is, that's that I've acknowledged and on the past, I've taken care of the present. It has now become the past. And now, with all that taken care of, I can look forward. I can think of the future. And the anti-raft, the T, would be the opposite, to think of the past. Because like you so wisely said, your issues and everything come with you. And so if you don't spend the time taking care of your time perspective and doing the RAF, it's really hard to think of the future because you get into your new place, your new circumstance, your new whatever, and all of that is unfinished. So you can't help but regret and think, oh, I can't believe I never said goodbye. They probably don't even know how I think about them. I'm never going to eat at that restaurant again. You know, all of the anti-raft, you know, the anti-raft culminates in not being able to move on. And the culmination of raft is being able to move on in a healthy way.
It's such a brilliant model, right? Like you've got the raft taking you from one place to it. Like there's just no other way to there's no better way to really think through that transition. But I think there's this natural thing that happens is that we just like the T, there's a reason the T is at the end, right? Like from a time perspective piece, if you haven't done RANF, reconciliation, affirmation, if you haven't said your farewells, and you're not ready for thinking ahead yet, but we very naturally try to move T to the beginning, right? Like as we transition, it's very natural just to put ourselves from a positive or negative, optimist or pessimist, like we want to think about what's coming next. I gotta get a job. I gotta buy a car. I gotta do a thing. I'm already there. I've already checked out. Right. Like that's what we say at the end of the year, even, right? Like I'm already checked out. It's senioritis or we've got names for it in every realm. Or freaking out about the future, right? Like, oh, this is going to be terrible. I don't know what's going to happen. Everything's changing. And we already move forward. And in the wake of all of that, in the wake of that overwhelming optimism or pessimism, joy or pain, we miss out on one, it's very easy to ignore reconciliation. If there's some other thing that needs to be taken care of here, I've got bigger issues to deal with right now. Everything is changing. We forget to really connect with the people who have impacted us, who have transformed our lives, and let them know what a beautiful impact they've had. And we often, I mean, we say goodbye, but that's not really at the heart of farewells, right? Farewells are so much deeper than just saying the words goodbye. It's finding it's giving honor to the change in that relationship. It's not the end of the relationship. It's not over, but it's giving honor to the recognizing that this relationship is about to change. We're not going to be in each other's presence anymore. We're not going to be. And I love how Dave Pollack, Ruth Van Reeken, Michael Pollack, all of them have spoken about this, is that farewells are much more than just people, right? It's much more than just relationships. It's the pets, right? It's the possessions, it's the places,
The
it's the
experiences, the
it's
places, the everything,
yeah, it's all of that. Like this experience has been amazing, and there are factors to that. And really giving ourselves, giving our children, giving everyone the opportunity to honor that and to really give it what is due and allow for some honor of that impact is really important. We miss that if we're already in the future and we settle for goodbye, right? Like we settle for hey, we're leaving, headed to the airport, see you. Sorry, like
Lots
here's
of
a
love. Burp, burp.
right? Yeah, that's it. But farewells are so much deeper than that, and we miss it when our perspective, when we put the T at the beginning, right? Like that doesn't spell anything. T draft
I mean,
draft,
tea as
right?
a beverage is
Yeah.
great, but
Okay. All right. Yeah.
but
Yeah.
even that takes some preparation, okay? You got to
It
wait for it to
does.
steep. You got to, like,
Right.
I can pull imagery all
Yeah,
over the
you
place,
know so
all
much
over
more
the
about
place.
T than I do, but yes.
I'm just saying, Jerry, I
Yeah.
feel like if we had to sum this up into, you know, because again, looking past, looking forward, dealing with the present, you know, for those who like to make New Year's resolutions, I would say, Even just this discussion makes me think, man, I want to focus more in 2024 on just the way I balance my time perspective. Am I rafting when I need to raft? Am I packaging and enjoying the present so that it can be packaged well and become the past, which will inform a better future, and maybe a good resolution is just to realize where we focus naturally, and to balance that, balance the other two perspectives of time, where maybe we don't focus enough, because I think a balance of all three is needed.
I think, New Year's resolutions are a whole, that's a whole other show, but there's this sense of moving forward, right? Stepping forward, moving in the right direction and making progress. And whether that's a big lofty goal or whatever it is, like what really matters is, are we pointed in the right direction, and are we walking that way? And I think that over a long period of time is tremendous progress, right? Like that's what moving forward looks like. So that's my New Year's resolution, is to point in the right direction
Oh, it's
and
a good
walk.
one. Wholeheartedly agree. And I'm very excited about this because now we're on video. I have to do it extemporaneously. I can't cheat and just look at a script off, off
Watching.
the everyone's watching. But just to throw a little out there, if you happen to be a TCK or the parent of a TCK, and your present is taken up with worried about the future of your college aspirations for yourself or for your student, might Jerry and I kindly recommend that you hop over to KC360.co and meet with our friends there. Our friends there are very well prepared to help you prepare in the present now so that your future college endeavors can become a reality. So again, for TCKs heading off to college, or for parents of TCKs who are heading off to college, make your present a little less stressful and invest in the now with all the experience of the past that you can find with our friends over at
Oh, see how you tied that all together?
KC360.co. I know, I'm so proud of myself. I'm so proud of myself. Whew, that was,
That was good.
I mean, that was, yeah, I'm not even ashamed to say I'm proud of that. Proud
You
of
should never be ashamed.
that.
Well, that's not
Oh,
entirely true. Like, I'm sure that you could go to a place where you should be ashamed, but for that, yeah, just be impressed with yourself.
I am, because there's more pressure when it's just audio. I can mess it up and cut it, but nope. Did that live, so kind of
Beautiful.
cool right now. Kind of cool. Enjoying the present, Jerry. I'm
It's a
enjoying the
good
present.
start. Good start to the new year.
It is. Oh, Jerry, thanks for hanging out
Hey,
as we
thank
kick
you.
off this
Always a joy.
fantastic new year. And to all of our listeners slash viewers, thanks for joining us. We hope to get these out on video more soon, and maybe someday we'll actually edit it, so there'll be camera angles and perspective lighting, maybe pyrotechnics. Who knows? Who knows? There could be all kinds of things. Oh, we'll save that for next year. We don't want to overpromise
That's
this
right.
early
That's right. And I feel like we say this all the time. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
We're so close. Like, you'll see us next time.
Yeah,
That's we're
exactly.
one step. I mean, we say it all the time, but really, there's no been no seeing until now.
No, now
And we'll
we're
see us
finally
next time.
making good. We're making
That's
good on
right.
that promise.
Yep.
So
That's
thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. Okay, bye.
right.